This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our next to last call of the last hour said, there's no question in his mind who won free agency in the NBA so far. And there are still some big names to have to put their names on the dotted line. But he said Golden State. They just kept the band together. They didn't want to go out and get anybody new. And oftentimes we fall prey to who's new, what's looked at as an upgrade. But you also need to keep your pieces in place. And the Warriors have done just that to this point. Here to give us some insight on that. He covers them on a day-in, day-out basis on his show on KNBR. Larry Krueger hops aboard here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Larry?
Hey, Jody, how are you?
Very good. You heard my little lead in there that the Warriors have been able to re-sign their own. Keeping Steph Curry was no problem. You just give him the Supermax and he puts his name on a piece of paper. No problems there. But getting Iguodala and Sean Livingston and even David West to come back for a minimal deal at $1.5 million, I guess they're not satisfied with two championships in 3 years.
And it's a statement that they really believe they got a special group of guys. You know, they really feel like their chemistry was above and beyond anything they'd experienced prior, and they wanted to keep this group together. And Bob Myers, you know, thus far has pretty much made it a reality outside of JaVale McGee, who I guess is yet to decide what he's going to do.
Well, and there's one guy who hasn't put his name on a piece of paper yet, and he's kind of important. I'm sure you've heard of him. Kevin Durant is also a free agent, but everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to resign. If it is as foregone as you believe, and almost everyone else does as well, what are the numbers going to be, and why hasn't he signed yet?
Well, he's gonna wait till the end to give them total flexibility to put together whatever team they need to put together. He's trying to do this as a benefit to the club. From what I've been told, he's gonna sign probably at the end of free agency for a little bit less than max money coming his way. So how much less? That one's left to be, you know, yet to be seen. But the timing of this was to give Bob Myers and the Warriors as much latitude and freedom as possible to be able to roll with the punches if things didn't go their way in free agency. So I think that's really the deal. I fully expect Durant to be back.
Now, it is. I should know this, but I'm a little sketchy on the NBA rules. Can he sign another one-year deal, or does he have to go multi-year? And if it's multi-year, can it be one with an opt-out? Is there a rule in place on...
He can go multi-year or 1 year at this point. He can go for 1 year, or he can put it off for a year and sign a multi-year deal next year. And I believe if you look at the numbers, Jody, it's advantageous for him to do a 1 year and then go long-term next year.
Right.
So I think that's probably what you're going to see.
Why was Durant the guy who waited and Steph got the money as quickly as he did?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I don't have an answer to that one other than the fact that Steph Curry has operated, you know, at an incredible deal. I mean, he's grossly underpaid based on his contract, and maybe they felt like the priority was to take care of Steph.
Fair enough. You mentioned JaVale McGee has not re-signed yet. He was a real nice addition to them. He's kind of kicked around the last year and change in the league. Was a pretty well-thought player when he first came in, but has become a bit of a vagabond. Found his home in Golden State. Is he looking to cash in on a good year he had? Does he want to come back? What is the word with McGee?
You know, I had him on my show a couple weeks ago. He had an event that he was doing, and we had him on. He wants to come back. I mean, he really loves the culture, that the Warriors have. He loves the support. He loves the kind of the coaching staff and their kind of hands-off with ticky-tack little rules. And I expect him to be back. The other thing I find surprising, because I really think this is an impressive player who's got a lot of good basketball ahead. You're talking about 7-1, shot blocker, finisher at the rim. He was ideal. Kind of like P.J. Brown for Kidd with the Nets when they went to the finals back in the day. I mean, they set him up at the rim continuously, and he played an effective role. I just think he understands that this is his fifth stop, that he doesn't fit on every team. He's had a hard time finding a fit. But I'm surprised he doesn't have a bigger market. But the big man market is not what it was.
No, just in general, across the league, across the board in the league, centers aren't as needed, valued a product as they have been before. Give credit to Steve Kerr. He knew just how to employ and deploy Mr. McGee this year. Patrick McCaw got a little run in the postseason. Nice second-round pick by the Warriors this past year. More of a factor this year, expanding role, or is he still a couple of years away before he becomes any significant piece?
Well, you saw him in the finals. He played with a ton of poise. I mean, he's weak. Physically, he just needs to get stronger. He needs a summer to lift weights. He's going to be the star of their summer league team in Vegas in a few weeks. And it's an exciting group they've got going down there. Jordan Bell, the first-round pick out of Oregon's on that team as well. But McCaw will be the headliner. He should put up some big numbers in the summer league. And I expect him to just, you know, get better and better and better. I think 3 years from now, if he works on his strength, he's going to be a really nice player that people look at his draft spot and go, what? That guy went in round two? That was a really nice get.
Bell was a pick acquired by the Warriors on draft night, end of the first round, which means he gets a nice little guaranteed contract, not big bucks, but the guarantee is very nice, and was one of the better bigs, rim defenders, shot blockers in college basketball when he was healthy last year at Oregon. Let's say they don't bring back a McGee or a Zaza Pachulia. Could they go with a truly small roster and have a guy like Bell jump in as a rookie and be a guy who's going to get key minutes?
You know, I'm asking myself that same question. You know, will they try to make Bell at 6'7" and change, 6'8", whatever he is, try to play the role that McGee played at 7'1"? I think that's asking a lot, Jody, to
yes.
be honest. I mean, I like Bell. He was incredible. I mean, anybody saw the elite game against Kansas. You know, he was tremendous. He was like 13 points, 11 boards, you know, 8 block shots. I mean, he was the reason that Kansas went home in the tournament. But I still think he doesn't have a face-up game. He's only 6'7". Might be asking a lot as a rookie to come in and ask him to play, play regular rotation minutes.
I don't know if this was touched upon, and if it wasn't, I'm not blaming you or absolutely anybody else out there in the Bay Area, because you win a championship and it's just full-blown party mode and only positive feelings and the like, and that's the way it should be. Did anyone get any comments from Steve Kerr's health at the end of the season? Is it something that he thinks he's gotten past? Is it going to be a recurring issue with his bad back and the like? They were just so good, it didn't matter that he missed a huge chunk of postseason coaching. Did Kerr comment at all about how healthy he's going to be at the start of next season? I know it sounds weird to ask a question about the coach's health, but it became an issue this year.
Absolutely it was. I hate to speculate on somebody's health, but he did comment in the finals to one of the local writers on a podcast that he sees himself coaching for a number of years, and he rightfully so, right? He's in his 40s. I mean, he's a relatively young man as a coach, so that was good to hear, because I think, Jody, right around the end of the regular season, there was a lot of questions swirling around what would Kerr's status be just going forward. And they tried the plasma patches, I believe, to plug up some of the holes in the spinal column where he was leaking spinal fluid, which was causing severe migraines and all kinds of medical problems for him. And I thought that they felt – it sounded like maybe they had their hands around that. I couldn't say in any way definitively, but he spoke optimistically during the finals about, you know, this being, you know, he's nowhere near the end of his coaching tenure. So I took that as a real positive, and I would imagine any help that he needs to get, he now has the off season, a pressure less environment to, to go do that and get that dealt with. I would expect, based on what I've heard, Jody, that he'll be there opening night and ready to roll.
This offseason, a team like the Houston Rockets, who were a viable team in the Western Conference playoffs this year but came up short, got beat by San Antonio, so they didn't even get a finals Western Conference final shot against Golden State. Add a piece like Chris Paul. Kudos to them for at least trying to compete with the Warriors. Nobody's saying, well, let's go into backwards mode because we're not going to beat the Warriors for several seasons. They're going forward. But does a Paul-Harden combo work for you? And if the goal is to beat the Warriors, can't Curry and Clay do as good a job slowing down those two as any and or matching their offense one-on-one? It just doesn't add up to the, well, this can keep us with the Warriors move that some wanted to make it out to be for me.
You know, I got a lot of thoughts on this. I mean, on one hand, Chris Paul, I mean, he's never gotten out of the first round of the playoffs. So all this talk about Chris Paul this, Chris Paul that, I mean, scoreboard right there on him. Plus, he's played his best basketball. You know, there's no question in my mind. Now, he gives them tremendous heart. You know, James Harden, in my mind, is the Tin Man after the way he finished last season. I mean, he just no-showed the biggest game of the year. So I'm really skeptical that it's going to do a whole lot because you're talking about, Jody, two of the top seven, you know, time of possession with the ball in their hands guys in the entire league. And there was no team in all of basketball last year that had two guys that sat in the top 10 in time of possession. So that tells you that D'Antoni's got his work cut out for him. They're going to have to change roles. Harden's going to have to play off the ball more. We'll see how it comes together. Houston's intriguing. I think they're clearly a step beneath the Cavs, who are a step beneath the Warriors.
If there was one player, and you watch this team play all year, not that they lost many games and then just had the historic playoff run that they did, was there a player or a type of player that at least made the Warriors work that gave them some issues? Not enough issues to dissuade them from winning a championship, but I think you get what I'm driving at here. Because I don't know that that player or that type of player even exists for a Western Conference to try and covet to give the Warriors a hard time.
It's a great question. Two finals ago, not this finals, but the finals before, Curry was clearly not physically 100%. But DeAndre Liggins at 6'6", long arms, just totally snuffed him out. I mean, just he could not get away from Liggins. I think if you look at Golden State, you say, what is their Achilles heel? How do you beat Golden State? Somehow you got to put together a squad that has defenders who are long and really athletic. Because the one thing, if you look at Curry and Green and Clay and Durant, only really Clay is a top shelf, you know, athlete. As far as, you know, if there are guys that you could, there are more athletic guards and forwards than Curry and Green and Durant. They're incredibly skilled, but if you snuff them out with a greater athlete with length, I think that will bother them. I think Kawhi Leonard, if he had stayed healthy, could have really bothered them. I think the Greek Freak, if he winds up in the finals, could really bother them. Anybody who's long and athletic and can play kind of smothering D on them. Serge Ibaka, I thought, against Golden State, bothered them a couple years ago in the OKC series. Length and athleticism is the ticket if you're going to try to take down Golden State.
That's a good answer. And if Clay is the most athletic one, what happened on that dunk attempt that went viral?
I don't know, but doesn't it look like Clay Thompson's having a good time in China?
He might have, but not if he had to watch that video thousands, if not millions of times thereafter, because I got to believe it's one of the most replayed pieces of video in the last month in any kind of, certainly in the sports world, but maybe overall in the world.
Yeah, exactly. The 360 hung on the rim, and then when you fall on the ground, 19 people are hovering over you. Nobody's offering you a hand up. Everybody's snapping your picture.
he can just rerun the video of the parade again over and over and over, and he can get past the missed dunk attempt. Larry, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board. Enjoy your 4th of July, pal.
Do the same, Jody. Anytime. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.